In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. One of the many responsibilities and qualities of a righteous, faithful believer in Jesus Christ, that is a true, genuine Christian, that is one who has believed in him, one who has been buried with him in the waters of the baptismal font, and has been declared by the priest to have been baptized and confirmed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit and signed with holy oil of unction or anointing, is to listen. If one does not read for him or herself, is to listen to the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, each time they are read and exposed or preached, is to read, study, examine, and search the Holy Scriptures, and to attend gatherings where the Holy Scriptures are studied, discussed, and taught. Now, the question is begged, and I'm sure you're begging this question. Don't beg, it's okay, I'll ask it. The question is begged, how one ought to do the above? Where do you start? How do you start? What do you do? Well, again, off the bat, and according to an anonymous article I came across written by an Orthodox bishop, stated that it was probably during the pre-revolutionary Russia, which is included in the commentaries of the Blessed Theophylact, whose commentaries are based on St. John the Chrysostom, his extensive homilies on the New Testament, writes, "The Holy Scriptures being the Word of God, one ought to approach them in reverence and with prayer to God, beseeching him to graciously grant understanding." First and foremost, we have to have respect and reverence for the Word of God, for the Bible. The Word itself, the power in the words, the book itself, not putting it down on the floor and kicking it as a football, claiming to be a funny Christian act, that's blasphemy. And unless there's repentance, there's eternal punishment. That is why when you walk into a Christian home, and in particular the Assyrian homes, you'll find most of the time a book of the Bible, the scriptures, opened. And when you ask those simple old ladies who don't know grace, no, they don't know grace, they don't know you're saved by grace, you ask them, why is this book open? And they'll reply, well, I want the holiness of this book, the power of this book to come out into my home. Reverence, beloved, reverence. Hence, we kiss the Bible. Hence, when we are put to bed, when we were young and being put to bed, tucked in bed by our mothers, they would make us kiss the Bible. Yeah, not understanding it, haven't read it yet, but there's, you know, to begin with, we knew that this book is holy, is revered. So after having that reverence to the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, we need to pray to God. We need to ask him to grant us the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge. One prayer which I always offer to God prior to the commencement of Bible studies gathering, those who attend, is that of St. John Chrysostom before reading the Holy Scriptures. Let me share it with you, and you may want to rewind and write this down, and this could be your model prayer before you begin to read the Holy Scriptures. Now, some would recommend that you read the Psalms, which is great. There are Psalms that are prayers pertaining to the Lord opening our hearts and our minds. But I love this prayer, and I want to share it with you. And it goes like this: always begin with the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, signing the cross on yourself. Don't be reluctant. Don't be fooled by those who mock the sign of the cross. And the prayer goes, Our Lord Jesus Christ, open the eyes of our hearts that we may hear your word and understand and do your will, for we are sojourners, refugees, upon the earth. Hide not your commandments for us, but open your eyes that we may perceive the wonders of your law. Speak unto us the hidden and secret things of your wisdom, O Lord of all. And you conclude one more time with the name of the one God, Father and Son, Holy Spirit, and the sign of the Holy Cross. It's a beautiful prayer. And it entails everything and refers to reading the Holy Scriptures. Another prayer is what we pray the beginning of this program. Every episode, the prayer is recited. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which has sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and life forever and ever. Amen. These are actually the liturgical prayers. These are the preparatory prayers during the celebration of the divine liturgy of Holy Qurbana before the priest proceeds to come out with the Holy Gospel. And these are the prayers that sometimes they are said silently, but at times some priests recite them loudly for people to hear. And they're beautiful prayers, preparing the priest that the Lord will enlighten him and move him and direct him to dare to read and comment on the Holy Scriptures being the Word of God. So, before you commence the reading of the Word, the Holy Scriptures, beseech the Lord of the Word in prayer and supplication to grant you knowledge and understanding of the Word, and finally, the strength to be a doer of the Word and not merely a hearer of the Word. Now also, the Blessed Theophylact writes, or the Orthodox Bishop, since the sacred scriptures were written down under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, we can understand them correctly, truthfully, only by the assistance of the Spirit of God. And amen to that. So we don't dare to try to understand them with our own limited carnal understanding and knowledge. No, we rely and refer in the prayer and during reading that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of holiness will reveal to us the truth of the words and the message and the power that is in the word. Why? St. Paul, the blessed apostle, writes to the Corinthians in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 14. And listen to this carefully. The natural man, the carnal man, Barnasha, the natural man, one who does not have the Holy Spirit within him, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Scriptures are spiritually discerned. And the natural man, ordinary man, also make judgment on spiritual things by the understanding of their own reason. You know, many a times during Bible studies when we examine or discuss a certain verse or a topic, well, I think, and I always say, I'm sorry, but I'm not concerned about what you think or what you feel. No, I want the truth of the word, the meaning of the word. So they try to understand with their own reason without submitting themselves to faith. And the faith in one God Almighty, His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit that proceeds from the Father, the life-giving Spirit. You see, our minds can only comprehend or grasp divine teachings when the grace of the Holy Spirit enlightens it. It's just like when you are in a dark room and there are furniture in the room. There are a lot of obstacles in the room, a lot of objects in the room. You try to walk from one end of the room to the other end, you're going to fall because those objects are not revealed, are not exposed. So until you switch on the light, when you switch on the light, that brightness, that light reveals all the hidden objects and obstacles in the dark. So also, the spiritual life, we can understand and perceive spiritual subjects and matters only in the light of the Holy Spirit. We need to always keep in mind, beloved, that one of the works of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus teaches in John chapter 14, verse 26, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Redeemer of the accursed, is to teach all things as stated by Christ. One of the services, lack of a better term, one of the gracious gifts of the Holy Spirit is to teach. So when you don't understand something, you pray to the Holy Spirit, reveal to me, open my eyes, open the eyes of my mind, or open my heart. You know, in the Old Testament, there was no word of the mind. It was always the heart because they didn't understand the mind. It was the mind was the heart. But in the New Testament now, you see the mind and the heart. So open my heart, open my mind so that I may understand. And we're going to close off with, after you do understand, what do you do with that? So we implore God with reverence that He enlightens our minds with the grace of the Holy Spirit and that He grants that we may understand the teaching of His words. And why? That is for our own edification and growth in our relationship with God. The purpose for reading the Holy Scriptures is not to go out there and take it as a fighting weapon to offend people. No, is that we increase our relationship with God by knowing Him through His Word, the Holy Scriptures, the written Word, and through the Word of God, the Word of God, His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have referred to understanding the Word many times, but the question I feel being begged again, and I will do it for you, it's okay, I'm a humble priest, I'll do it for you, I'll do your begging for you, is in what framework, in which framework, or according to what measure, or whose interpretation and directions are we to understand and comprehend and to accept the meaning, the interpretation of the Holy Scriptures? Great question. Amazing question. Well, very simple. Sometimes I make out that the questions are really hard. You know, some people during Bible studies have commented that they say, Rabbi, when you ask a question and you sort of lean back on your chair when you're sitting and you look at us, it's like we think, oh my God, what's the answer? It sounds so difficult. This has got to be theological. This is one of those capitulation, you know, Sarun, one of those capitulation questions. And then when we can't answer, you come back and say, it's so simple. And we say, well, you make it seem so hard. This is very simple, beloved. In what framework and according to whose understanding and life and interpretation and usage of the Word of God are we to understand the church? The church. One more time. The church. Eta. Not Umrah. See, thank God. We have two words. We have Umrah. We have Eta. Umrah is the dwelling place, is the building, is the premises. Eta is you and I, the body of Christ, the church that Christ established on earth, the body of believers. Now, we need to refer to the church. Why? Why the church? Why can't every person claim to interpret the scriptures and teach the scriptures? You know why? Because if this was never allowed and it didn't at all come about, we won't have 30,000 denominations of Christianity. I'm sorry, but yes, 30 to 33,000. You know why? Because people picked up the scriptures and interpreted it according to their own understanding and how it fit in their own lifestyle. So those who condemn the early church for not permitting the faithful to read the scriptures, well, we stand corrected. We stand rebuked. Do you know why? So that not every person will interpret scriptures to understand them according to their own knowledge and understanding and wisdom and philosophy and theology and school of thought, but the church. And there is something within the church as well. Why the church? because this is what the Bible, sola scriptura. Let's play the sola scriptura, not game. I'm sorry, I won't use the word game, but the sola scriptura concept. Okay, only the Bible, nothing outside of the Bible. All right, amen. Well, the Bible says that the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth, not the Bible. So you go and fight with that sola scriptura. You go now and question the Holy Scriptures and say, how dare you, Holy Scriptures, write that the church is the pillar and truth of foundation, or the pillar and foundation of the truth, not the Scriptures, St. Paul. Actually, you gotta go and face St. Paul. This is what the Bible is saying about the church in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, which is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Now, yes, I can feel it. Which church, Rabbi? You just mentioned 30 to 33,000 denominations. Well, the one holy and apostolic and Catholic with a small c, not Roman Catholic, Catholic denoting universal, the complete, there's a small c, that church, beloved, that we recite in the Nicene Creed. We believe in the one holy and apostolic and Catholic church. Why? Well, since the church canonized, accepted, and rejected the book of the Bible, keep in mind, beloved, for 30 to 40 years, let's just, the years are varying, right? Let's just take it as an argument's sake. For 30 to 40 years, or maybe even 70 years, beloved, there was no erdat. There was no gospels. Gospel means Jesus Christ. The first gospel that was preached was by the angels. Glory to God in the highest, because they told of a good tidings, which is Jesus Christ. There was no Bible. There was no New Testament. Do you know the first written book, the first recorded found written scriptures was either 1 Corinthians, I've heard, or 1 Thessalonians. Not Matthew or John or Mark. No. For 40 to 50 to 70. Let's give it that time frame. There was no Bible, beloved. What was the church sitting there? Matthew, Mark, and Peter and John and Thomas were sitting there and twiddling their thumbs and waiting for a book to come down so that we can start using it as a guide. No, gospel means Jesus Christ. Jesus was preached. And by the way, he was preached in the framework of the Old Testament. The apostles would go to the synagogues and preach Jesus. They would preach the feast of the tabernacles and the feast of the Pentecost, but they would preach Jesus Christ being the fulfillment of all these feasts until they were expelled from the synagogue. So where did the Bible come from? Within the church. And how was the Bible canonized? The writings were examined according to the framework and according to the life of the church. That's why we need to understand them according to the framework of the church. The one holy and apostolic and Catholic with a small c universal church. You see, we have our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, praise be to his name, who, by the way, he's prayed for everyone. When I begin to pray, sometimes, I'm not going to be a hero and tell you, every time when I begin to pray and I end my prayer, I always encourage myself and say, you fool, Jesus prayed for you. Christ has already prayed for us. And that we need to pray to him, not for him, but to him. So Jesus Christ prayed to his Father for those who believed. Listen to this. He prayed not only for these, that is his disciples, but also to those or for those who believe in him by the words of the apostles, not the writings, not the books they carried, by the words of the apostles whom went and preached Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, and is sitting at the right hand. Praise be to his name. Either in writing or oral teaching and expositions of the apostles. Before any books of the New Testament were written. So one must understand the sacred scriptures as the Holy Church explains them And as the holy fathers and teachers of the church understood them and how they incorporated them in the church life and in the church liturgy. Let me give you an example. How much we learn from the church liturgy, the taqsa. I'm going to use the liturgy of the burial of Christians. In one of the antiphons or one of the hymns, this is referring to repentance or the unrepentant souls, right? So there's a lot of questions. We read the scriptures and sometimes we may not get a clear answer or understanding. We come to the holy liturgies and the divine liturgies and we find our answer. And here it is. Those who are refused by their deeds, the door to the bridal chamber will not be open unto them, referring to the five foolish virgins. Abraham will not refresh those who are suffering in the flames of the fire. This is the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. The judge, being Christ, will not forgive those who have not repented. Simple. There it is. There's my answer about repentance, non-repentant soul. What will happen in the liturgy? So the scriptures are not only limited to that book that you hold in your hand. And by the way, I forgot to mention, going back to the reverence of the book, don't throw it in your, in the back of the car, in the trunk. Don't throw it on the ground in the back seat. Don't just toss it on the table when you walk in your home. Put it in a respectable place. Maybe put it in your glove box or leave it with you until you get home. Don't leave it in the car. It's not a going back many, many moons. It's not one of those Rigby's street directories. No, beloved, it's the written word of God. It has power. So there it is. Beyond the holy scriptures, we see that the church incorporated the scriptures even in its liturgy to teach the faithful the meaning, the truth of Jesus Christ. An understanding of death and judgment. And this is, again, not according to one's own feeling, emotions, personal understanding, and certainly interpretations, but rather within the framework of the life of the church, her holy fathers and teachers. Why? Because when we read the Word of God attentively, carefully, reverently, yes, there are some things that are clear and they are understandable. The Holy Spirit reveals to us. But there are some things that we don't understand. I'm sure you're agreeing with me. I'm sure you're shaking your head, right? But if you're driving, people are probably thinking, why is this guy shaking his head? Yes, in agreement, that's right. So what do? You text Kasha Jenard, right? You message Kasha Jenard. You reach out to Kasha Jenard or your parish priest. And you know what Kasha Jenard does? Let me tell you. That's why I delay in my replies and I say, oh, I'm sorry, I was busy. No, I wasn't busy. I may have been busy, but I'm busy searching the church fathers and the church liturgy and the life of the church to give you that true interpretation, direction of the Holy Scriptures, not my own understanding and my own philosophy or theology. And I always give disclaimers. I mean, during these episodes, I always say, according to St. John Chrysostom, according to St. Ephrem the Syrian, according to the Blessed Theophylact, right? Trying to avoid plagiarism too, I think. So finally, beloved, after approaching the scriptures in reverence, praying and reading and consulting and researching and referring to the church fathers and the understanding of the scriptures by the church in the framework of the church and the life of the church, finally what we must do is approach the holy scriptures with the one and most important mission, intent, and purpose, and that is to fulfill them, to obey them, to do them, to live them, and reflect, meditate on them, to please God with our thoughts, words, deeds, and actions according to the instructions of the Holy Scriptures. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, blessings to those who have heard the word of God and keep it. Keep it not just meaning, oh, I understand. It's in my mind. It's in my heart. I believe it. No. Keep it in their daily life. What he's saying is, blessed are they who listen to the teaching of the Word of God with reverence and then submit to it, keeping it in their thoughts, desires, words, and deeds, and who strive both openly and secretly to serve the Lord God, ever fulfilling His commandments. And blessed will be you, my dear brother and sister, my dear listeners, if you strive to listen to the Word of God and to keep the commandments of God, if you strive to listen to these episodes of the Double-Edged Sword podcast ministry and not just text me and say, I love your podcast, Rabbi. You know, please, and I say this in all humility and I say this in all love and respect, don't tell me what you love and how much you enjoy. Just pray for this ministry because it's not my ministry. Pray for the ministry. You will be blessed because even on earth, you will live with God. And beyond the grave, eternal rewards will be awaiting you in the mansions of heaven, where you will be everlastingly blessed, glorifying God, the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/double-edged sword. Until next time, God bless you all.